Here is Radio New York Folk Music Worldwide. A program devoted to the best in folk music throughout the world, showcasing the top performers and authorities in the field. Now your host for Folk Music Worldwide, Alan Wasser.
Hello again and welcome to Folk Music Worldwide. Today we're going to fill a lot of requests, satisfy one of the desires many of you have expressed in your letters. We've had letters from Margaret Hannon in Dublin, Bob Belzer in London, just to mention a few, asking that we do a show devoted to the Limelighters. Well, this is it. With us on the show is Lou Gottlieb. He's the tenor, the bass player, the spokesman for the Limelighters. I asked him before if he really wasn't the leader of the group, but he told me that technically they're all partners and he was just a tenor.
The necktie tenor, Alan. We have
very fine tenor, Glenn Yarbrough. I sort of fill in between his voice and that of Alex Hasselev.
Well, how do you get the term necktie tenor?
Well, there's frequently one man in every chorus who seems to be straining for every note, and that's kind of a colloquialism that's frequently applied in these situations.
Well, before we get into the interview very far, let me give our listeners a sample of the Limelighters' music. How about We Will Overcome? That's the old Southern integration song, isn't it?
Yes, it's a song that's being used by the integration movement as kind of a theme song. We decided to cut it somewhat in the style that is found very frequently in Negro churches in the United States with piano. We have never used a piano in the background, and a man thought up a figure that sounds very much like a Bach choral prelude.
Incidentally, who is your piano player on that?
Oh, he was a man by the name of Bob Florence. He is not our pianist. He just was used on this particular recording. He's a marvelous musician from Los Angeles, California.
Well, let's hear We Will Overcome with the Limelighters. That was We Will Overcome by the Limelighters. As we were listening to it, Lou was pointing out the beautiful tenor voice and pointing out that was Glenn Yarbrough, not...
Yes, he's the real singer amongst us. Alex and I are sort of filler voices, and it's nice to have a voice like that to write for, because whatever you write always comes out right on the button, and he is the voice that is uppermost in the texture when we sing in ensemble.
Where are they today, by the way?
Well, Glenn is probably in Sausalito, California. He has recently purchased some kind of a sailing craft, which I have not seen, but which he has been busily scouring and scraping and painting, and he is going to sail somewhere on it, we're told. Alex is here in New York, working with our associate, Arnold Brown, with whom we make television commercials and things like that.
Incidentally, you pretty nearly got your start in television commercials, didn't you?
Well, it was a lucky break. We went to work for Liggett & Myers, huckstering L&M cigarettes about 2 years ago, and we made some commercials which they may not have sold cigarettes, but they did get some talk in the industry, and it was very interesting what happens when you do that. People request you to sing the jingle, but we have 100 fine songs.
By the way, you're a PhD, aren't you?
Yes, I was awarded a doctorate at the University of California at Berkeley in 1958 after a very long odyssey.
In which particular field?
I'm a music historian, technically a musicologist, and I did a dissertation on some sacred music from the 15th century from a large manuscript which now resides in Trent.
Are you using any of this music in your...
No, it doesn't lend itself to this kind of performance. It's a marvelous one. It's a wonderful repertoire, and it's curious how people consider it somewhat recherché, whereas if you owned a painting by Roger van der Weyden, everyone would say, well, you're very fortunate, but I own, let's say, 25 pieces of music that are of equal merit artistically. Nobody cares.
Well, how did a musicologist with a background in this kind of music get into popular folk music?
Well, I'd always worked my way through college in one capacity or another as a musician. I used to play the piano in dance halls and things of that sort. And when the Weavers first had their comet-like rise to popularity, I was attracted to folk music. This is 1950, I suppose. And about 1954, I was instrumental in the formation of a unit that was rather successful around San Francisco called the Gateway Singers, or we were frequently referred to as the Reweavers. But we sang there for a long time. Finally, I had to stop that kind of work and complete the dissertation. And then around 1958, I ran into my present colleagues, Yarbrough and Hasselet.
Where did they get their start? I mean, what's their background? Say, Glenn...
Yarbrough was born in Milwaukee and has lived pretty much everywhere in the country, in Baltimore and in New York City. And he was a boy soprano at St. Paul's Cathedral right here in New York as a child. And he took up folk singing when he was a student at St. John's Academy in Annapolis. He has one of those voices with a startling immediacy of emotional impact. And... it's just pleasant to sing with someone like that. Alex Hasselev is an interesting man since he was born in Paris of Russian parentage. Came to this country when he was about 8. I think he's 31 now. And he's something of a virtuoso with respect to the guitar and banjo and has a nice strong voice which lends itself to ensemble singing very well. And that's...
I understand he speaks 14 different languages?
No, that's an exaggeration. He speaks 5 languages, actually. He commands English, Russian, French, Spanish, and Portuguese.
Well, now, I see on your album here you have Die Gedanken sind frei, which is German. Who
does
the German?
Well, that's just a great song from the peasant war in Germany, Die Gedanken sind frei, and it has a kind of democratic message with which we agree wholeheartedly. Thoughts are free, they may not be confined, is essentially what the song says. And... it's a good tune.
Who does the German singing?
We all do, and more or less phonetically. I learned enough German to get by my oral qualifyings, examinations for the doctorate, and you can always have someone tell you when you're wrong.
I see. Well, let's hear Die Gedanken sind frei as done by the Limelighters.
Die Gedanken sind frei, my thoughts freely flower. Die Gedanken sind frei, my thoughts give me power. No scholar can map them, no hunter can trap them, no man can deny. Die Gedanken sind frei, no man can deny. Die Gedanken sind frei. Die Gedanken sind frei, wer kann sie erraten? Sie fliehen vorbei wie nächtliche Schatten. Kein Mensch kann sie wissen, kein Jäger erschießen, es bleibe dabei. Die Gedanken sind frei, es bleibe dabei. Die Gedanken sind frei.
I think as I please, and this gives me pleasure. My conscience decrees, this right I must treasure.
Mein Wunsch und Begehren kann niemand verwehren. Es bleibet dabei, die Gedanken sind frei. Es bleibet dabei, die Gedanken sind frei.
And if tyrants take me and throw me in prison, my thoughts will burst free like blossoms in season.
Foundations will crumble, the prison will tumble, and free men will cry, die Gedanken sind frei. Es bleibet dabei, die Gedanken sind frei, and free men will cry, die Gedanken sind frei.
Very nice, very nice.
It is a beautiful song. It has that kind of broken chord structure that's very moving to me.
Well, this is Alan Wasser at Folk Music Worldwide on Radio New York Worldwide. We're talking to Lou Gottlieb of the Limelighters, and we'll be back talking to Lou Gottlieb in just a moment. All right, back at Folk Music Worldwide again. By the way, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, we'd had an awful lot of letters of people who wanted to have the Limelighters on the show. I trust these people will write in and let us know how they like the show, and let us know who else they'd like to have on. The address is Folk Music Worldwide, Radio New York Worldwide, New York, 19, USA.
You know, Alan, one of the most pleasant experiences that we've had, or certainly that I've had as an individual, was a tour that we made last February, which took us to cities like Rome, Amsterdam, Brussels, Geneva, and London. We had a concert at Royal Festival Hall, and perhaps that's why you're getting some mail. It was really a tremendous experience for me. I'd never been outside of the Western Hemisphere, and I'm 39. So the concert at Royal Festival Hall will remain in my memory as one of the most outstanding emotional experiences. It was so favorably received that it was embarrassing.
Well, is folk music as popular in Europe, did you find, as it is in the United States now?
Well, we couldn't say with respect to Italy and the Netherlands, because we appeared there only on television, and usually with some nice person who commanded both the indigenous language and English. But in England, certainly, but from what we can tell, at Manchester, we gave a concert at Cambridge University in the debating hall, and the audiences were... Of course, Chris Barber, the trombonist, once told me, when you go to England, the audiences will be magnificent, but don't praise them. It embarrasses them. They don't like it, and all American performers do. But one simply couldn't resist. They were extraordinary.
Speaking of the popularity of folk music, how do you account for the sudden burst of popularity of folk music in America?
I've thought about that an awful lot, and we've been asked it many times. I suppose there's a confluence of a number of factors. One, the material is available as a result of the efforts of a great many distinguished scholars. Secondly, since the invention of long-playing recordings, the demand for material is just never-ending, and these are all valid songs which performers, let's say, who are no longer teenagers, can sing convincingly because the emotional impact is a vital one. And lastly, I would say that the vapidity of the lyrics of so much popular music that you hear has somehow palled on the audience, and you find young people, particularly undergraduates in universities, who want to hear finer poetry than you do hear usually in the average pop tune.
Let me ask you another standard question that I'm sure everybody asks. What do you see in the future for folk music?
Well, I think its influence on American popular music as a whole is being felt and will continue to be felt. I think that, as always, those individuals whose talent is gigantic will endure, and those whose talent is modest will pass from the scene. There's a kind of vogue now, and it's, let's say, easier to get a job than it used to be. But... it will eventually find its own niche.
What about overseas? Do you think it will spread to the continent of Europe,
yes,
Africa?
Yes, I do think that. I think particularly in those countries where the difference between their folk music and popular music is now growing. For example, in Italy, there's a tremendous influence of American rock and roll. You hear a lot of Italian recordings that start out...
and then someone starts singing in Italian, which seems something of a jolt. But I think that there will come this kind of sophistication there, where people will return to their own folk heritage, only in a jazzy way, you see. They'll start singing the older songs. When we were in Italy, we did cut one song, La Rivista del Corredo, which is an old Italian army song. We didn't do it well enough to release, but we were in the famous RCA Italiana studios there in Rome, which everyone must see. It's the eighth wonder of the world.
Well, now, I see here you have a Greek song. Were you in Greece, or...?
No, alas, we were not. But this is a song that most folk singers in the United States know. It's a dippy little thing, really, about a girl named Hierakina, who goes to the spring to fill her water jug. And upon the completion of this touching display of Aegean domesticity, she falls in. The song is in 7/4 time, which has some musical interest because it's not characteristic of the kind of music that's played in the United States. Very difficult to remember how to do it. And I think on this recording, which was cut in person, we made a mistake, which was preserved on the recording for the benefit of our listeners. It was kind of a joke. I don't know whether it should really be left on the record, but it does give the impression of a spontaneous performance, which it certainly was.
Well, all right. Here's Hierakina, complete with the Limelighter's Mistake.
That we're not Greek and start over. Welcome to Earn While You Learn time in Athens.
Well, that was Hierakina at the Spring, or just Hierakina, as recorded by the Limelighters. Where was that recorded, by the way?
That was recorded in the nightclub in San Francisco, which is very famous, called the Hungry Eye. And that little instrument on the end is a Portuguese instrument. Folk music has always profited from cross-fertilization. It's a little instrument called a tiple.
A tiple?
Tiple. It looks like a ukulele, only it has many strings instead of one for each note. Three, that is.
Who plays that on the record?
Well, that's a famous musician from Los Angeles who came up to San Francisco to help us make the recording. His name is Alan Roos. He used to play with Benny Goodman and many famous performers.
I presume not the tea play with Benny
Goodman. Oh, not the tea play, no. He played the guitar with Benny Goodman, but he knows how to play every instrument in that of the plectrum family.
Well, Lou, we're getting short of time, but I think
if we hurry, we can just get in one more short song. And I know just the rousing number to end with. There's a meeting here tonight.
Some come to dance, some come to play, some merely come to pass time away. Some come to laugh, their voices do ring, but as for me, I come for to sing. 'Cause there's a meeting here tonight, there's a meeting here tonight. I know you by your friendly face, there's a meeting here tonight. There's a meeting here tonight, there's a meeting here tonight. I know you by your friendly face, there's a meeting here tonight. There's a meeting here tonight, great God, I'm glad you came along. Hope all the brothers and the sisters here will help me sing this song. There's a meeting here tonight, I hear it, there's a meeting here tonight. I know you by your friendly face, there's a meeting here tonight. There's a grin on every upturned face and a smile in every eye. Brothers and sisters, let me hear you shout, let me hear your joyful cry. There's a meeting here tonight, there's a meeting here tonight. I know you by your friendly face, there's a meeting here tonight.
The Limelighter is doing There's a Meetin' Here Tonight from their album Tonight in Person. Lou, we have just a moment left in this week's show, but there's a lot of interesting things we haven't talked about yet, and even more good Limelighter music we haven't played. Do you think you could come in again next week and do another show with us?
I'd be delighted to, Alan.
Well, thank you very much. This is Alan Wasser at Folk Music Worldwide, and we'll be back next week with Lou Gottlieb of the Limelighters.
This has been Folk Music Worldwide. Devoted to the best in folk music throughout the world, spotlighting top performers and authorities in the field. If you have any suggestions, requests, or comments, why not write in to Folk Music Worldwide, Radio New York, WRUL, New York City, 19 USA. This has been a Music Worldwide presentation of Radio New York Worldwide.